This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الأحبة في الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. الله سبحانه وتعالى explains in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, Ayah 133. He said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Rush, race, compete with one another. For what? The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. For paradise, which is as vast as the heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it has been prepared, has been promised for al-muttaqeen, those who have taqwa. And for the purpose of this khutbah today, we're going to talk about achieving the highest degree of this deen. اليوم نتحدث عن أعلى درجات هذا الدين, which is إحسان, وهي الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. It is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. And if we all know for fact that we cannot see Allah, but all of us know that He can see us. But before we talk about Ihsan, there is a level that we have to achieve before, which is taqwa. And subhanallah, there is a book by a person called Jose Addison. And the book is called All What We Need to lead a happy life. What are the requirements of a happy life? And the man said there are three main things that we need if we want to lead a happy life. Something to do, something to love, and something to look forward to. So back again, Jose Addison in his book, what do we need to lead a happy life? He said there are three things. Something to do, something to love, and something to look forward to. And subhanallah, when you reflect on that, you will find that these are exactly the three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to in the ayah that I just mentioned, that I started the khutbah with. يقول Jose Addison في كتابه عن متطلبات السعادة في الدنيا أنت تحتاج إلى ثلاثة أمور لكي تحيا سعيدا في هذه الدنيا: شيء تفعله، شيء تحبه، شيء ترجوه وتتطلع إليه في حياتك. وهذه الثلاثة نجدها في الآية التي بدأت بها هذه الخطبة. If you think about the first ayah that I shared with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسَارِعُوا رَشْ. This is something to do. إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. That's something to love. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. This is something to look forward to. Subhanallah. Humans, when they excel and they understand the meaning of life, they write books today about things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed more than 14 centuries ago. And you will be amazed to know that some people in this life, they might have two of them, but they will never be happy because they're missing the third one. قد يتحقق لك أمران من هذه الشروط الثلاثة ولكنك لن تكون سعيدا. على سبيل المثال، أولئك الذين يتقاعدون. Let me take an example. Those who are looking for retirement, they have something to look forward to and they have something to love. But subhanallah, when they retire, because they have all the money that they need, there is nothing that they need to do. But look, but guess what? They feel that their life is meaningless when they hit that age and they feel that they have to sit down doing nothing. They will not be happy. So they will try to make plans how to keep themselves busy to give their life meaning. هذا الذي يتقاعد وقد توافر عنده المال وعنده ما يتطلع إليه ولكن ليس لديه شيء يفعله. وهنا تفقد الحياة معناها، ويعتقد هذا الإنسان المتقاعد أن حياته بلا معنى، فيذهب ليبحث كيف يملأ هذا الفراغ وكيف يفعل شيئا ليعطي لحياته معنى. Another example, some people, they might have things in their life to do and they have things to look forward to, but they have nothing to love. And these people, subhanAllah, they will achieve supreme success in all aspects of their lives. They'll make lots of money. They will have everything, but they only fail in one area, which is spirituality. And they can see that their family is falling apart in front of their own eyes. People who are around them, they love them because they need their money. النوع الثاني أيها الأحبة الذي قد يتوافر له ما يفعله، بل إن حياته كلها شغل وعنده أيضا ما يتطلع إليه، ولكنه يفقد المعنى الثالث وهو الحب في حياته. فها هو يحقق المال الوفير والنجاح في جميع مجال حياته، ولكنه يفشل فشلا ذريعا عندما يتطرق الأمر إلى حياته الروحية وعلاقته بربه وبمن حوله. فالناس حوله يحبونه لأنهم يحتاجون إلى ماله، فهو قد حقق كل ما يريد من المال، ولكن علاقته بأسرته قد تفككت، علاقته مع ربه ليست مثمرة. Let's take the third example of people who will have something to do and something to love, but they have nothing to look forward to. Look at those celebrities and those people who achieve fame and everybody is pointing at them And they're everywhere on the TV and in the magazines. But subhanAllah, look at their life. At the end of their life, they're just going to take a... They're going to think about taking their own life. And you will find that they commit suicide in a room in a hotel. Because their life has become meaningless. They achieved everything, but there is nothing to look forward to. There is nothing that they are living for after achieving all of this. النوع الثالث أيها الأحبة هو من لديه ما يفعل ولديه ما يحب ولكن ليس لديه ما يتطلع إليه في الحياة. وهؤلاء الناس تجدهم في نهاية حياتهم كهؤلاء المشاهير الذين حققوا الشهرة ولكنهم تنتهي بهم الحياة بالانتحار. فالحياة ليس لها معنى، لا يعيشون لهدف، وقد حققوا في عقيدتهم كل ما يصبو إليه الإنسان، ولكن الحياة بلا هدف ليس لها معنى وليس لها طعم. Brothers and sisters, if we take this back to the ayah and the context that I wanted to start with, how can we achieve the top level of this deen? Because this deen is 3 degrees. Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. فكيف لنا أن نحقق أعلى درجات هذا الدين؟ فالدين درجات 3: إسلام، فإيمان، فإحسان. And before we can achieve إحسان, we have to achieve تقوى. And this is why I started with this ayah.
وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين.
الحمد لله، الله سبحانه وتعالى أعطانا ما نفعل وهو المسارعة، هذا هو الهم الأول، وأعطانا ما نحب وهو المغفرة من الله عز وجل، وأعطانا ما نصبو إليه ونرجوه وهو الجنة التي عرضها كعرض السماوات والأرض. ولكن لكي نتحقق هذا المعنى ولكي نصل إلى الجنة لابد أن نحقق التقوى التي أعدها الله عز وجل لهؤلاء الناس، ولهؤلاء الناس مجموعة من الصفات لابد أن نحققها. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that recipe for happiness. Allah said, وَسَارِعُوا rush, this is something to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ to the forgiveness of your Lord, of your Master. That's something to love. And then he said, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ and Jannah, paradise, the expanse of which is equal to the heavens and the earth. This is something to look forward to. But for us to achieve that and to get to that, we have to be amongst the muttaqeen. And those muttaqeen have certain qualities, have certain characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained in the Quran. And this is how we should read the Quran from now on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he says al-muttaqeen, al-muhsineen, al-mu'mineen in the Quran, he's going to always mention their qualities. And these qualities, some people today they say, Allahu Akbar, these are the Sahaba. No, it's not only the Sahaba, it's for them and for us today. It applies all the time, in every place, till the day of judgment. عندما يذكر الله عز وجل المتقين المؤمنين المحسنين في القرآن تدبر ما سيأتي بعدها فتلك صفاتهم ولكي تكون منهم لا بد أن تتحقق فيك هذه الصفات. لا تقل هذا الكلام كان للصحابة، وإنما هو للصحابة ولمن بعدهم إلى يوم القيامة في كل زمان وفي كل مكان. نعم أيها الأحبة، سو الله سبحانه وتعالى mentions what are the qualities of al-muttaqeen. And before I go and talk about al-muttaqeen, let me define what's taqwa first. ما هي التقوى؟ إن للتقوى تعاريف كثيرة. منها ما قاله علي رضي الله عنه. هي الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. Many people has given definition to taqwa. Amongst whom is Ali radiallahu anhu.
He said taqwa means is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to act upon the revelation that came from Allah, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. And number three is to be content with whatever Allah has given you of health, of a wife, of a husband, of a child, of a job. Be content. وَالِاسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ To be ready for the day when you're going to leave this life and you're going to have a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تعريف آخر لأبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال التقوى أن تجعل بينك وبين النار وقاية فإن كنت تمشي في طريق فيه شوك فإنك تلملم ملابسك حتى لا تتأذى من هذا الشوك. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه defined تقوى. He said if you are walking on a thorny path, if you are walking on a thorny path, what would you do? You will try to squeeze yourself and stay away from being poked by those thorns. So he said, taqwa is to make a barrier between you and hellfire by staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's taqwa. So moving on now to define what are the qualities of al-muttaqeen. So when you do what you do, you're conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're conscious you're going to meet with Him, and you will be held accountable for everything. So I don't care how many flowers would you buy for your wife, but I would care how would you treat her. I don't care about the words, the nice words you say to the loved one, but I would care how much respect when it comes to real life, you give them. فالمحك الرئيسي عند الله عز وجل ليس هو القول المعسول وإنما هو العمل. فكم منا من يهدي زوجته الورد ولكنه يسيء معاملتها. فما الفائدة من ذلك؟ Give me this one. Okay. Now it's working. It's working. فعلينا أيها الأحبة أن نفعل ما نقول وأن نراعي الله عز وجل فقط فيما نقول. So we have to do and act upon what we say, and we have to be only conscious of Allah when we do what we do, only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فما هي صفات هؤلاء المتقين؟ إذا كنا نريد أن نصل إلى الإحسان علينا أن نحقق التقوى أولا. If we want to reach ihsan, we need to attain the level of taqwa first. What are the qualities of al-muttaqin? ما هي صفات المتقين؟ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the next ayah, next to the ayah that I mentioned at the beginning of the khutbah. Allah عز وجل يقول في الآية الرابعة والثلاثين بعد المئة الأولى من سورة آل عمران واصفا هؤلاء المتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء. المتقين هم أولئك الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء. The people of taqwa are those who spend at times of ease and at times of hardship. At times when they have lots of money and at times even when they have hardly the money enough to pay their bills. This is to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are one of al-muttaqeen. Because subhanallah, in any fundraising, when I do a fundraiser, I will go to the organizers and ask them, who are the doctors? Who are the engineers? Who are the business people amongst the community? So that we can target them. But Allah is saying here, no. Not only the people with lots of money. Even when you're struggling in your life, you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you care. You know why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُبَّ دِرْهَمْ سَبَقَ مِئَةْ أَلْفِ دِرْهَمْ. نعم نعطي عندما نملك الكثير ونعطي عندما نملك القليل. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رب درهم سبق مئة ألف درهم. How come that the reward for giving one dirham could be more than giving 100,000 dirhams? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained to us. شرح النبي فقال هذا الذي يعطي مئة ألف درهم إنه مليونير. فهذه لا تساوي شيئا فيما يعطي. أما هذا الذي أعطى درهما واحدا فرأس ماله كله درهمين، فهو عندما أعطى درهم أعطى نصف ماله.
So the Prophet ﷺ explained how come that one dirham would be more rewarding than 100,000. He said because the person who gave 100,000 dirhams is a millionaire. So this is nothing compared to his wealth. But the person who gave one dirham has only two dirhams. So how much did he give? He gave 50% of his wealth, even though he doesn't have much. That's the first quality of al-muttaqeen. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء. ما هي الصفة الثانية؟ والكاظمين الغيظ. Those who swallow their anger. You know when somebody comes and says something bad, slanders your mother, say anything about your tribe or your family, what would be your reaction? You have the right to talk back. فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is a higher level. You can swallow your anger. عَلَيْكَ أَنْ تَقْدِمْ غَيْظَكَ. وَهَذِهِ لَيْسَتْ عَلَامَةَ ضَعْفِ. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سأل الصحابة ما تعدون الشديد فيكم؟ قالوا الشديد منا بالصرعة. قال لا، الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, who do you consider a strong person amongst you? They said, he's somebody who can knock people down. A good wrestler. A good boxer. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. A strong person is the person who can control himself or herself when they're angry. This is why this is one of the qualities of al-muttaqeen. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Not only that, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those, when they are wronged by people, they don't only swallow their anger, but they forgive people and they forget what they have done to them. That's a higher level. I know many of us here can forgive, but they find it very difficult to forgive, to forget. But Allah said no. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do afw to you, you need to do afw to people. You have to exercise it here. إِذَا أَرَدْتَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْكَ فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ تَعْفُوَ عَنِ النَّاسِ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ. وَالْعَفُوَ مَعْنَاهُ أَنْ تُسَامِحْ وَتَنْسَى. نعم، صعب على بعض الناس قد يسامح، ولكنه قد يكون من الصعب عليه أن ينسى. لكن تأمل معي أيها الحبيب الحديث الذي ورد في مسند الإمام أحمد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ينادي مناد يوم القيامة. It's reported in مسند الإمام أحمد that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said someone will call on the day of judgment and Allah سبحانه وتعالى said: أين العافون. Where are the people who used to forgive and forget? هَلُمُّوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Come to your master. فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ حَقٌ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ إِذَا عَفَىٰ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Because when you will be called at that time, and because you forgave and you forgot what your brother, what your sister did to you, Allah is going to call you on the day of judgment. He's going to say to you, enter Jannah because of your afu, and I am al-afu. So we all need that. That's another quality of al-muttaqeen. Is there something beyond that level? هل هناك من هو أعلى من ذلك؟ نعم. الله عز وجل قال: والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. Not only you swallow your anger, not only you forgive and forget, but you do good to those who wrong you. الله أكبر. That's a higher level. That's a higher level. And that's ihsan. That's what we're talking about. Did the Sahaba do this? Did they act upon the Quran? هل فعل الصحابة ذلك؟ تأملوا معي هذه القصة العجيبة للحسن زين العابدين حفيظ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
كان خادمه يصب عليه الماء ليتوضأ، فسقط من يديه إبريق الماء، فانتشر الماء على ثوب الحسن رضي الله عنه، فغضب، فذكره هذا الخادم مباشرة بكلام الله عز وجل. Let's listen to this beautiful story of Al-Hasan Zain al-Abidin, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His maid was pouring water for him to make wudu, and the jug fell off, splashing the water on the thawb of Al-Hasan. And he could see that Al-Hasan's face turned red, he's getting angry. فَذَكَّرَهُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَبِصِفَاتِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَبِصِفَاتِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ فَقَالَ لَهُ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. فكيف كان رد فعل الحسن؟ هل قال له دعك من القرآن الآن ودعني أؤدبك على ما فعلت؟ لا والله، كانوا رجاعين لكتاب الله. He didn't say, leave the Quran alone now, let me discipline you for the mistake you have made. No. Whenever they were reminded with the Quran, they will say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen and obey. Once the maid said to him, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ قَالَ كَظَمْتُ غَيْضِي. He said, I will swallow my anger. But the maid was very, very smart. فَأَكْمَلَ الْآيَةِ والعافين عن الناس قال عفوت عنك. He said, I will forget what you have done. But the guy was very smart. The maid was very smart. He continued the ayah. والله يحب المحسنين. And Allah loves those who do ihsan. قال وماذا أفعل لأحسن إليك؟ اذهب فأنت حر لوجه الله. Allahu Akbar. He said, what ihsan could I do to you? What ihsan could I do to you? The only ihsan I could do to you, go, you're free for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is attaining the highest level. But Allah didn't stop there. Listen carefully. Allah لم يتوقف عند هذا المعنى. هناك صفة أخيرة للمتقين الذين يسرون إلى الإحسان. ما هي؟ إنها صفة ستفاجأ عند سماعها. الله عز وجل بعد ذلك قال: الله سبحانه وتعالى did not stop there. You will be amazed to know that there is one more quality of those who want to do تقوى الإحسان. الله سبحانه وتعالى said: والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the muttaqeen, those who want to do ihsan, one of their qualities, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. When they commit a major sin, even if it was adultery, whatever they do, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. When they wrong themselves, and the way we wrong ourselves is when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they do? Right away, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they do? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah used the fa. وَالْفَا مَعْنَاهَا سُرْعَةِ الْعَوْدَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِلَا تَسْوِيفِ. فبمجرد أن يرتكب الذنب يشعر بحرارة الذنب فيذكر الله عز وجل فيعود إليه ويقول أستغفر الله. When you say أستغفر الله from your heart, when you say it from your heart, Allah سبحانه وتعالى talks to the angels and he says to them, علم عبدي أن له ربا يؤاخذ بالذنب أشهدكم أني قد غفرت.
When you say, I ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the angels and he would say to them, my slave knows that he has a master who will hold him or her accountable for what they have done. My angels bear witness, I have forgiven him, I have forgiven her. That's what Allah will do. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive sins? But Allah said, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. They don't insist on committing the same sin again and again and again. Once they commit the sin, they go back to Allah, Allah will forgive. Once they commit the sin again, they go back to Allah, Allah will forgive. But they don't mean it. They do it at a time of weakness. They don't mean to disrespect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ja'alna minhum jami'an. Ameen, ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وصلاة وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد أيها الأحبة في الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. I will conclude the khutbah with a very beautiful meaning and a very beautiful part of an ayah. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتلو هذه الآية على الصحابة فيقول أن الله عز وجل وعد المتقين ووعد المحسنين الذين نتحدث عنهم اليوم. الله عز وجل قال لهم فيها الحسنى وزيادة، ومعنى الحسنى الجنة، فما معنى الزيادة؟ فقالوا يا رسول الله، أو بعد الجنة من شيء؟ أليس معنى الحسنى هنا الجنة؟ فهل هناك بعد الجنة من نعيم؟ قال نعم. قالوا وما هو يا رسول الله؟ قال إذا دخل المؤمنون الجنة فإن الله عز وجل يقول لهم ماذا تطلبون مني؟ فيقولون يا رب وماذا نطلب منك؟ بعد أن بيضت وجوهنا وأدخلتنا الجنة ونجيتنا من النار، هل بعد هذا النعيم من نعيم؟ فيقول المولى عز وجل نعم. وإذا بالمولى عز وجل ينزع الحجاب، وإذا بالمولى عز وجل ينزع الحجاب، فيرى المؤمنون ربهم بلا حجاب. وهذا هو معنى الزيادة أيها الأحبة في الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting with the Sahaba and he recited the ayah and he said, for those who achieve taqwa and ihsan, they will have, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, that they will have al-husna wa ziyada. And all the mufassireen, they said al-husna means jannah. So the sahaba were amazed. They said, Prophet of Allah, if jannah is the ultimate goal of every Muslim, and now when people enter jannah, is there something beyond jannah? And the Prophet said, yes. When the believers will enter Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, is there anything you would ask of me? And they would say, Ya Allah, what else shall we ask you? You saved us from hellfire. You illuminated our faces. You allowed us to enter Jannah. What else could we ask for? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove the veil and we will be looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly without a veil. And that's what the Prophet said. This is the ziyada. Allahumma la tada' lana wal hadirin dhanban illa ghafarta. ولا عيبا إلا سترته
ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا ولنا صلاحا إلا يسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ارزقنا توبة قبل الموت وشهادة عند الموت وجنة ونعيما بعد الموت. اللهم ارزقنا لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. اللهم ارزقنا لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. اللهم ارزقنا لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم كن لهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارحم ضعفهم واجبر كسرهم. اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر. اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر. اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين واغفر لنا ذنوبنا أجمعين. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله. وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.